You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It certainly is, and this morning we're speaking with Jay Marlow, who's a Professor of Social Work and the Co-Director of the Centre for Asia Pacific Refugee Studies at the University of Auckland. Morena Jay, how are you this morning?
Atamarie, nice to be on the call, Rachel.
It's lovely to speak with you today. It's a very important day. It's World Refugee Day, quite an exciting one for Aotearoa. We've finally hit our refugee quota, 1,500. It's the first time we've actually managed to hit it, but you've been looking into the refugee situation in Aotearoa for a very long time, and you've just published an open access paper on the demographics and economic outcomes of nearly 25,000 people from refugee backgrounds in New Zealand since 1997. This is a huge project. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so it has been a huge project, and also to recognize that today is World Refugee Day, and to recognize that we did hit a significant milestone of settling 1,500 people who came as part of our refugee quota. So that is an important milestone to reach. So what we wanted to do is we accessed a large data set that contains literally billions and billions of facts about all New Zealanders and households, mm-hmm. and we were able to identify about 25,000 people from 1997 to 2020 that were from refugee backgrounds. And from this data set, you can explore all sorts of things, from housing, to where they've lived, to tax, to their employment, to benefits, to health, to education. The list goes on and on. And so it's a really powerful way to get a almost like a bird's eye view of different settlement outcomes, and this paper focuses on economic outcomes of working age people from refugee backgrounds, so between the ages of 16 and 65.
I mean, that's an amazing thing, as you say, a bird's eye view for sure of the way it's lying at the moment. What's been some of the significant findings? What's been the big takeaways for you from this?
So the main takeaway of the study is it really emphasizes this golden window, the first 5 years of settlement. That's where you can see where people, most people that come to New Zealand as refugees, as you would expect, would start off on some sort of social support, some sort of benefit to try to find their feet to support themselves and their families. And what you see over that 5 years across a range of different refugee subgroups is that those on the benefit decrease over those initial 5 years, and also those that are getting their main income through wages and salaries or self-employment also increases over those 5 years. So it's a real good news story in that five-year window. And then after that time, whilst the trends still remain generally positive, the actual effect is much smaller. So it really shows that investment in those first 5 years is where you're likely to yield the best long-term gains.
Now, I'm quite interested in the subgrouping that has been used for this. You've got quota, family reunification, convention, and asylum seekers. Can you break down what those actually mean for us
Sure.
a little bit?
Yep. So our quota program is basically the New Zealand, as I mentioned earlier, that we have we hit 1,500 people over the course of this intake year. And what that means is that people that already have refugee status are recognized or nominated by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees for resettlement, and New Zealand selects from that list up to 1,500 people. So it's part of our quota.
Well, that's so interesting.
Yeah, but people can also come to New Zealand through other means. So there's also the family reunification. So these are people that would be applying for family members overseas to also be allowed to come to New Zealand. And that's also been doubled from historical numbers of 300 up to 600 people. But those people don't receive the same settlement supports as quota refugees.
Right.
And then there's one other group, which are people that come to New Zealand. And once they arrive in New Zealand, they then seek asylum and seek recognition of refugee status. Mm-hmm. So whilst they're seeking asylum, they're known as asylum seekers, and New Zealand has a refugee status determination process. And if New Zealand recognizes them as refugees. They then become known as convention refugees because they've applied the refugee convention in New Zealand.
Right. That's so interesting. So when we look at, as you say, past that five-year mark is obviously where we start to see more of the disparity in the way these groups are integrating or functioning or flourishing in New Zealand. What do you see as some of the barriers or the success points for people's engagement?
Well, I think there's one really important thing in this paper, that this paper focuses on economic settlement indicators. It doesn't give us a full picture of what settlement success is, and I think that's really critical to acknowledge.
Mm.
So within our quota program, we actually have dedicated places for people that are part of a medical disabled category and also women at risk. So these are populations that have higher degrees of vulnerability, that if we didn't bring them to New Zealand, they would remain in protracted and unsafe and in dangerous circumstances. So to actually expect that they would have better economic settlement outcomes would, you wouldn't actually expect that.
Right.
And so in some respects, the fact that you see that the quota counterparts are actually not quite doing quite as well as the other groups actually supports the idea that we actually have a humanitarian program. Because ultimately refugee resettlement is about protection. And once those people are protected, then the settlement process is about, I would argue, is settlement's about belonging.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, again, this is why we focused on those first 5 years, that if we can get those first 5 years right, that seems to be the best intervention point to then help people to get into economic self-sufficiency. And when you have that, it can lead to a range of other better health outcomes.
So what are you hoping this report will be able to prompt for the sector or be used for?
Yeah, so I think that this report really forwards the need to broaden the refugee resettlement strategy to all groups, because we see that for all groups it's that 5-year window. And so if the refugee resettlement strategy was extended to convention refugees, family reunification, and whether asylum seekers were part of it or there's some other form of support, it certainly suggest that short to medium term investment could give a long term benefit. And again, when we look at settlement support, historically it's only been 6 months to 1 year. It's now gone up to 2 years in practice. But if we were to think about settlement support just to extend a bit further out, I think that's where we would really start to see that refugees wouldn't only be contributing to the lives of themselves and their families and their communities, but also to the wider society.
Well, it's a really interesting report, and if anyone is interested, it's an open access paper as well. We'll put the link in the podcast after the show, so anyone who wants to go check it out can. Jay Marlowe, Professor of Social Work and Co-Director of the Centre for Asia Pacific Refugee Studies at UOA, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.